Good to see each and every one that's here this morning. I want to thank the Lord for another time. Sunrise service. And we'll maybe read a few scriptures and we'll go outside here in a little bit and pray together. If you got your Bibles this morning, turn with us. I was reading over yesterday and again this morning. And we're going to go out of the book of Luke, I believe. And I was reading in all four Gospels, in the latter chapters of each one, each give an account of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. Although they are very, very close in every account, as most of the time the Gospels are, a few details one writer will put in and a few others another writer will put in. But in the book of Luke, we'll take our scripture this morning, chapter 23. We'll start reading in verse 44. We all know Christ was on the cross, and Luke gives the account where Jesus had spoke to the one on one side who railed upon him, and then the other one who asked for mercy. And the Lord spoke to him, told him he had joined him in paradise. The Bible says this in 44, says, And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to the sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living here among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he had spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And you can be seated this morning. But we know that this was And all the Gospels, it mentions these things happened here. Joseph of Arimathea had gone to Pilate and begged the body, taking it down on that day that Christ was crucified, and the things that happened on that day, preparing the body and putting it in the sepulchre, and the ladies preparing the spices and ointments, and as the Jewish custom was. But because it was in such a rush at the Sabbath time, we know that they had to wait until the Sabbath was over. So the first day of the week come, and they had gone down early to take the spices and the ointments they had prepared. But when they got there, we realized that Christ was gone. And one scripture says that the angel come down and rolled the stone out of the way and sat upon it. The Bible says that the men that were there guarding the tomb, I believe it was in the book of Matthew, said they shook and they quaked and they fell over just as dead men. And then the women come down. The other gospel says that the women got there, as the book of Luke said, they got down there and the stone was already rolled away. One of them said they pondered what they were going to do when they got down there because the stone was so big. But as they approached in the garden and they approached the tomb, the stone had already been moved. And they looked inside, and what they saw inside was not the body. They didn't find the body, didn't see it anywhere, but they saw the angels in the room. One of them, the gospel said, there was an angel who appeared, and he was standing at the one at the foot and one at the head where the body of Jesus was laid. But nonetheless, Jesus was gone. And as they pondered these things and they were wondering what was going on, we realize in all the gospels that the Bible says that pretty much the same words were spoken. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? But the scripture, and the reason I read out of Luke this morning, was this verse right here. After Mary had gone back and the women had gone back and told the disciples of the things that were happening on that day, the Bible says in verse 11 and 24, it says, "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." These were the apostles that had just been told this by these women. The women had come back to them and said, "Jesus is gone, he's not here, and his body is taken, and we don't know where it is." But the angels had reminded them, "Don't you remember what was said? Don't you remember what was spoken?" John gives the account that Peter and John, it says Peter went and John with him went down to the tomb. And they looked inside and they saw the grave clothes, and that's where they saw the napkin folded and laying by the at the one end of where he was laid. Another scripture in the book of Luke mentions the road to Emmaus. So we find that Jesus had risen. We find that the angel had come down, rolled the stone out of the way, so that they could come on in. Christ was already gone. Another scripture says that as the women were perplexed and they were sorrowful and they were wondering what was going on, that Christ began to speak to Mary and told her there, "Why are you weeping? Whom seekest thou? Why weepest thou?" And she said, "Well, if you would have known, if you know where they have taken the body, if you just let me know, I'll go and get it." And he said, and they began to call her by name, and she realized that it was the Lord. But then they also, it says that when they had gone that day, they found all these things that happened and occurred. That then that later that day, as the apostles were gathered back in the room and they were all perplexed and wondering what was happening, two of the gospels give an account where the folks were on the road to Emmaus. Luke here actually names the road. Another scripture does not. But it says that he appeared unto two walking in the way. I'm glad that the Lord makes himself known to each and every one of us. And that was on the same day. Later that day appeared, and they went and they stopped at the end of the day, and they began to tell the disciples the things that they saw and who Jesus was, and he appeared unto them. And then they were still perplexed, and I was reading about that. This was all in the same day. And at the end of the day, they were gathered together and they were still wondering what was going on. They had heard the news in the morning, had gone all day, never seeing the body, never finding out anything other than the word that was spoken unto them. But still it seemed as idle tales unto them, until Jesus came in the midst and at the end of the day and stood right in their presence and began to upbraid them, the Bible says, because of their lack of faith. But then he encouraged them. Then he began to speak to them and lift them up and help them. And I thought today, as we gather for Easter this morning, I'm still amazed at how it is that the gospel and the story of Jesus Christ and the reality of his suffering and the reality of his crucifixion and his resurrection and getting out of the grave, how it is still today seems as idle tales to so many people. We know for a fact, that he's not in the grave. We know for a fact, no matter what they did in the book of Matthew, it says that they called them together and they paid them large sums of money. And they said, "You tell everybody that the disciples had come and stole the body." But it doesn't do away with the fact, that Christ walked with them for 40 days after he had resurrected, been seen by hundreds of people, and he had been throughout the city teaching and still encouraging the folks that believed upon him, and then to step out on the cloud upon the mountain and be ascended up into the heavens as they watched him go away. And promised them that "I will return unto you." The angels, as he stood there on the cloud going up, and the angels began to proclaim, "Why stand ye gazing? The same Jesus that you see go away
will return in like manner. Listen, and then the Bible tells us that there is another resurrection coming. I know that there's a lot of folks today are still waiting on the first resurrection, but that resurrection's already taken place. I'm simply waiting on the next one. Hey, listen, the one where the whole church comes together at the sound of a trumpet of God. Hey, listen, we'll rise up out of the grave, changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, and we'll forever be with Him in the air. Hey, listen, He's not coming back here. We're just going home someday, and we can gather this morning, and we can rejoice together, because we know without the cross, without the empty grave, hey, listen, there would none of us have any hope. We'd still be wandering. And no matter what the world thinks, or no matter what they say, and they might look at it as idle tales, but I'll say this, I know it in my heart. I know He's real. I know heaven is real. And I know I'm going someday because of this man who got up out of the grave the third day. And listen, and went to the Father, sat down forever for the remission of my sins. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. And I don't care what the world says, and they can still lie, and they still do. And Satan still lies, and they always will. And listen, sometimes it seems like the world want to believe, they'll rather believe a lie than to believe the truth. But I do know this, and we ought not to be discouraged in any of the things that we see around us, because the Lord tells us that all these things will come to pass. But I, regardless, no matter what happens in this world, I know that the power of God can still work on the hearts of our people. Yeah. Hey, listen, and sometimes it might seem like it's hopeless, and sometimes it might seem like that the things that we say, they just look at us and they just simply will not believe. And I know that it's discouraging sometimes. Hey, listen, but I do know also that there was a time when we were all in the same shape and the same manner. Whenever you'd hear about the Bible, it would say, well, that's good. I believe that there is a God. I believe that, hey, listen, that Christ was a son, or He was some man who was of very high importance, and that's how the world looks at Him. And I'm always amazed, and I say this often, that they try to bring every religion on the same plane, but it's not on the same plane. Hey, listen, my God is the only God. He is the I Am that I Am. Jesus Christ is unlike any other man that ever lived. He was born, hey, listen, unlike any man ever born. He lived a life unlike any man ever lived. He died unlike any man ever died. He was crucified like no other person was crucified. He was laid in the grave, and He got up on the third day like no other body, no other man ever did. And He sat down at the right hand of God like no one else ever did. And He's looking down right now upon each and every one of us like no one else would. Hey, listen, and He loved us when we didn't love Him. He considered us when we didn't consider Him. He was innocent from the time that He left the portals of glory, from the time that He returned. And thank God, while He was here, He took your sins and my sins to Calvary, nailed them there, and made the sacrifice accepted of the Father. Hey, listen, so that we could be forgiven. I'm thankful today that we have such an occasion. Hey, listen, I know that we look around into society, it's all become merchandising. It's always about merchandising in the world. That's what it seems like. And sometimes it seems like even though, hey, listen, as much as the world merchandises the things of God, we've got people in their church merchandising the things of God. Hey, listen, but I'm not here to make money off of the gospel. I'm here just to live it and to preach it and love the Lord and let our light shine. We don't profit naturally about the things of God. But the things that we profit are far deeper and they're far better. They're spiritual things that we grow in. Hey, listen, and we learn and we try to help one another and we try to encourage one another. We try to teach our kids and our grandkids about the love of God and the glory of God and how special, hey, listen, that Jesus was and that He is and He still is to us today. And though it might seem like idle tales to a lot of people, it's reality in the hearts of those that believe. And I thank God that it is real. And when we read the scriptures and we celebrate Easter, we celebrate Christmas, and the things that we celebrate as we look in the gospel and the life of Christ that we celebrate together. Hey, listen, I'm glad the Spirit comes by and it stirs inside of our hearts and it moves us. And we can read about these things often, and we often do. And we can talk about them, sing about them, we can preach about them. But I'm glad when the Spirit of God comes down and stirs on the inside and lets us know for sure how special that Jesus is and how much we love Him. And what's more, how much He loved us. because he didn't have to go to Calvary, but he did it for us. He didn't have to come here on this earth, but he did it for us. He lived a sinless life and a perfect life, and I believe he would have, regardless. He had all power, and sin had no power over him. Even death had no power over him. But he did it all for me and you. And when you start to realize, if you're here, you're saved, you realize that he did it all for you, it just breaks your heart, but it makes you rejoice. Because we read of the suffering. We read of all the things he went through at Calvary, and we read of all the... Now listen, we can talk about the crown of thorns. We could talk about the beating that he took. We could talk about the mockery that he went through, but he went through all of it for us. And then when he went through all of that, then they took him and they nailed him to a tree, put him up between two thieves. And that's a sad story. And it breaks our heart when we read it, because we realize it wasn't his death. It was really should have been ours. It's what we deserve, not what he deserved. But he took it all for us. But then we rejoice because the third day, when Mary and him went down to the tomb, he wasn't there.
Yeah.
And the hearts were broken. And they were weeping, and because he was gone from them. They'd watched him 3 days prior hang at Calvary, a bloody mess. And they'd watched all the things that were done and all the mocking that took place. This man who had walked and preached for the last 3+ years to him and did nothing but good. And did nothing but miracles. He did nothing but, hey listen, show the love of God in every step that he took and everything that he did. But they took him and they went through a mock trial, and they did all these things and brought in false witnesses, and they killed him. And these people watched it with their own eyes, thinking, how could this be? But then on the third day, when they went down there and he was gone, they probably, at the first thought, you think about it, they probably going down there with these spices, those women with spices and the oils, and they were just trying to do the customary Jewish thing and prep the body and try to preserve it. And when it was gone, they probably thought, well, someone's taking him away. We can't even do this. But then his voice began to ring out to him in the garden. And he just began to show the same love and compassion, because he wasn't in the grave, and he's not in the grave now. And I'm glad his voice still rings out whenever someone's lost or discouraged or brokenhearted and weeping and seems like they have no hope. I'm glad that God knows how to get to speak to us and lift us up. He's the one that can encourage us. He's the one that lifts us up. He's the one that saved us, brought us out of darkness. We was just as good as dead. I mean, the substitute, the substitutionary, the resurrection death that took place there. I mean, we were all dead in the grave. We were all on the way to hell. We were all bound. We were all without hope. But then Jesus came in the garden. Spoke our name, made a way, let us realize that we could come out of that place. Death didn't have any power over him. Because death didn't have power over him, death don't have power over us. Not anything that we did, but through him, we know that, hey listen, when time comes, we'll lay this body down, but the soul will go and be with the Lord forever. And I'm thankful for that. We've got a home in heaven prepared, waiting. And it's all because Jesus and what he did. His whole life, from the time he was born, the time he died, the time he rose, resurrected, and he is alive today. And I'm thankful for that. It is not an idle tale. It is true. Someday, we're all going to see him face to face. If you're here saved, you're going to see him face to face. If you're here lost, you're going to see him face to face. And you will give an account. Listen, I know that, and some people say, well, I'll give an account, and he'll want to go through. He's not going to go through a long laundry list. God's just going to look for his blood.
That's right.
He's going to look for the blood of the Lamb. You're going to give an account for what you've done with Jesus Christ, this man. You're going to account what you've done, whether you believed him and accepted him and received him, or whether you've rejected him, denied him, and turned him away. That's what the Lord's looking at. It's good to be saved today.
Amen.
I'm glad we've got this time. We can gather. It's about 6:30. I don't know what time sun rises. I was thinking it starts to kind of get daylight. Anybody got anything on the heart?
James, you want to get a song? We'll sing a song. Maybe head outside and have prayer.
One thirty-nine.
Let's all grab a songbook, stand. If you need to pray, pray. We'll get ready to go out in a minute. Anything on your heart? All right. Well, y'all want to pray outside or pray in here? Outside?